looked down in the mirror, and it's about 30%. And he asked me if I was aware of it, and I said, well, you know, when I swallowed, I only could feel water coming down on this side, you know, on the left side. And he says, well, he looked at it some more. He says, there's no known cure to this, but all I can do is give you referral to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. There's no cure. Why? Why should I go to a specialist and waste more money? So I just went home. He told me all the details of what this involves. It was slowly spread in my mind, slowly, 10, 15, 20 years, nothing. But he started talking and says, well, basically, we don't know how fast it will spread. It will slowly close off so you can't breathe. I would drown in my own saliva, because at night the saliva will go down in my throat really slowly, and I couldn't feel it. And so I got some prayer right after that. Nothing happened. No, everything stabilized. I thought, well, I got 10, 15 years. I decided I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. And like a typical guy, men, we don't want to tell our wives nothing, do we? My wife knew. I told her and had people pray for me, but I never told anybody how severe it was. I didn't tell the progression, how bad it was. Well, it started getting really bad about last November. I started losing my voice. And it's kind of hard when you go up to the reservations to teach and preach and train people how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. It's kind of hard when I go travel around the country to speak, and all of a sudden I'm starting to talk a little bit less. And I wasn't aware of it. I talked to my mom, and she's on the phone. What are you saying? What? What? People were talking to me. What are you saying? My wife's telling me, you're mumbling. I'm not mumbling. I'm talking as loud as I could. I'm doing a weekly or bi-weekly radio show. And, you know, I get up, I stand up, I have halls, cough drops, glasses of water, I'm slamming down, talking as loud as I could on the radio show, teaching. And so my healing came on April 14th. 5 days before that, on the 9th, my wife was out. I ate some food. This is how bad I choke. I was choking really bad on food and water. So my wife wasn't home, so somehow it went down. Something went in my windpipe, and it didn't go into the lungs, but it was just lodged, and I couldn't feel it. I felt it when it hit. I coughed. I laid on the floor and passed out. I saw stars, and it came out. I got up coughing. My throat's irritated. I'm sweating. I get up, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't care if you heal me or not. I'm still going to serve you. That was my second time. So 3 nights before the meeting, my throat was really bad, and I had to do a radio show on Friday, and it was, I said, Lord, I don't care if you heal me or not. I'm still going to serve you. That was my attitude. So on the 14th, I went to see Katie Souza at City Point Church. I wasn't there to get healed. I wasn't even interested. I wanted to hear what Katie taught, because people always tell me about Katie. They say, when you teach about inner healing and deliverance and how you pray for people and what the Lord sees, you and her are very similar, even though, you know, I'm a much different approach than what she does. But I got curious a couple years ago and started watching her, and I go, huh. So I'm borrowing from her now. Putting everything I learned into one tight fist instead of separate stages, okay? But and then I went there to learn. I didn't get to go to heal. And so I'm sitting there, and they had the air conditioner, and Liz is there, right? She was sitting behind me. The lady sitting behind me, never met her. She's sitting behind me, and it was very cold. My wife had her jacket on. I had my jacket on. I'm freezing. And then Katie goes up. There's somebody with a larynx problem. It's like a partial paralysis. And all of a sudden, I got roasting hot. And they did it in the back, the row right behind me. And I'm sitting there. I don't usually raise my hand. I would have sat there and not raised my hand. I'm a guy. I don't raise my hand. I'm John Wayne. When something grabbed my arm and threw it up and actually picked me up. I'm not kidding. And then Katie goes, "That's you." And so I was on my way, and I was sweating. I'm going, geez, I had to take off my jacket, throw it to my brother-in-law, and I'm going. I got up on the stage. Anointing is so strong. I go, man, I love strong anointing, so I'm going to walk into this. I'm not going to fall down. No. I'm going to soak in this. I don't care what happens. I'm going to soak in it. So I went up there, and so here's Katie. And if you ever seen Katie, she's exactly like what you see is what you get. And so she's just intense, and I love intense people who know how to pray, and I like that anointing. And so she was praying. She came up to me and she talked to me about it, told her about the larynx. And my wife was sitting on the front row, and I'm saying, "Oh, my throat's numb." My wife's ready to yell, "Dummy, it's partially paralyzed." But my brother-in-law restrained her. I'm a guy, what do you expect? You know, and then she started praying, and you got to understand, I've been drinking water all day. I had water with me, and you know what happens when you drink a lot of water, you know? Everyone knows what happens. You got the urge. So here's Katie, gets me a bottle of water. Drink this! Oh, my God! So I was drinking it, and I started to feel going down on my right side, down. And I started going, wow, the healing started right then. And then she prayed, and she had people standing behind me. I do not know how the people standing behind me were standing up, because, you know, I was determined to stand up. I wanted something. But anyway, I went to lunch at the break, and that's how the healing came. Sometimes healings take a little time. So I had this itching going on inside. It was itching, just itching. I couldn't scratch it, and I wasn't coughing. So you got to understand, every time I coughed, I wouldn't be able to do this. I was in Bridgeway doing a healing room. I'd just been talking for about 2 hours already, preaching and praying for people. And I'm up here now. I'm not coughing. Anyway, so hallelujah. So anyway, here we are at lunch, and I'm drinking ice-cold water, and I could feel it. Right here, and you haven't felt part of your neck, and right here, and you only had about 25% of your neck where you could actually feel in the inside. And I used to chew my food, get it down, and take a glass of water and swallow it like a pill and hope I didn't go everything closed. And sometimes it didn't, that's why I was choking so much. And I started to cry. So what do men do when they cry? We go to the bathroom. I'm not kidding. That's what I did. And there's tears coming out of my eyes because I'm going, the food's really good, but it's not that bad. Trust me. You know. And so I went in there, straightened myself up, got back out, sat down, started eating some corn chips, and I could feel them go down. If you haven't felt those, you haven't felt that. And then I'm still drinking water. I just like, wow, this feels so good. And I had to test myself after I got healed later by eating a peanut butter and honey sandwich without drinking any water. That was impossible for me. I did it for the fun of it to see if I could do it. I could do it. So anyway, after the lunch, we got on the meeting, and there's Katie. She's looking around. I know she's looking for me. I sat down, and she saw me, and she runs over. And how do you feel, brother? I said, I feel great. My throat's healed. How do you like to testify? I said, let's do it. And that's when I told her about the partial paralysis and all that. So I know she gave me permission on her community page to advertise this. Some of you may have come up from different places, so welcome. And so I got healed. That's how I got healed. And then the Lord does have a sense of humor with guys. You know, I did swallow a lot of saliva. I didn't know how much. My lungs hurt. I didn't have feeling. Because what this stuff does, it closes off your diaphragm, and you'll stop breathing eventually. Now, I could get a trach, but a trach is real expensive, and what use is that? So I just determined to serve the Lord no matter what. I didn't care. if I was healed or not. I just went to listen to Katie, and I got a healing. God got my number. And he knew that a couple nights before that, how I was laying in bed telling him I would serve him no matter what, with tears in my eyes, because I knew it was getting bad. I was trying not to be, I didn't want to bother my wife and say how bad it was. And so anyway, make a long story short, after I got prayed for this, about 5 days after, not too long ago, I was just, I didn't want to cough, I was just, I was actually getting water out, and it felt good. The fluid out, I could actually feel it in the back of my throat and getting it all out. And it came all out. No infections, nothing. It just came out. I didn't know how much I swallowed, but I sure swallowed a lot. So here I am, 2 weeks later. And I'm probably a lot louder than the last time I was here, too. That's my message right now on just the healing. Yeah, it was incurable, but the Jesus is the one who cures. Amen. All right. Amen. I am going to talk about heaven, but I just kind of feel the Holy Spirit just kind of moving right now. I don't know where it is, but somebody right over there, you got something wrong with your ears. Is anybody over there? Am I hearing right? Is it your right ear or your left ear? Well, come up here. Let's pray for you if you don't mind. Earlier when you were sitting down, I didn't know it was you. I was just pointing. See that lady in that flower shirt? Somewhere over there is somebody with an ear. So what's wrong with your ear?
I have tinnitus.
Really bad?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I can't understand people that well.
Okay. All right. Well, so everybody stretch out your jumper cables. You know what jumper cables are?
They couldn't hear what he said.
So okay.
I have... inflammation in the inner ear that's caused by constant jaw tension, which causes a constant ring in my ears, specifically on my left side. I'm going to a doctor right now for it, and we're slowly working for it. But when it comes to communicating to people, I can't understand people that well because it just sounds really loud and really mumbled a lot of the time.
All right, we're going to pray for you. Let me have, just hold your hand. How are you doing? Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now. What's your name?
Luke.
Luke. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Luke right now, Lord. He's got tendonitis, ice, some type of, what is that thing going on up there? I'm seeing. Oh, wow. I'm going to say some strange things. I am strange, so don't worry about it.
I like strange.
Okay. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, there says, like a bunch of gook. And just right now, Lord, I ask you to begin to remove it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right now. Lord, I also want you to go back into his life. There's a big hurt in his life, too. I want you to take that pain away from him right now in the name of Jesus and heal his soul. Right now in the name of Jesus, heal that pain because that's what's causing it right now. That's what's causing the tendonitis. Right now, in the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the blood of Jesus right now to cleanse him and forgive him of all those things he's ashamed of. I just thank you, Lord, right now. I'm going to get someone behind him. I don't know what's going to happen. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the blood of Jesus to cleanse his heart, to cleanse his mind right now, the pain and the anguish of that turmoil and that caused all this. I'm not going to blab it or tell anybody. But you know what it is. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to release some of that shame and that pain and the guilt. So just repeat after me if you can. Just say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus.
Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For I have sinned.
For I have sinned.
I have done some bad things.
I have done some bad things.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And I also forgive.
And I also forgive.
Those who trespassed against me.
Those who have trespassed against me.
I'm very angry at them.
I'm very angry at them.
You are, aren't you? Yeah. Yes. So Heavenly Father, right now, we just cover him with the blood. We're going to ask right now with your Holy Spirit power, that resurrection power right now. Lord, to begin to heal his soul so he can get that wound healed and get his hearing back. Because you did it to me. That's how I got my larynx healed. So, Father, right now we ask for the resurrection power that's already in him to begin to heal his soul, to heal, make his soul excellent, and give him the moral power to do what's right, not wrong. That you'll take away all anything that he has in common with the enemy that came in, whatever this black junk is. Right now, that brown junk that's in his ear, it's in his back of his head going around. Right now, in the name of Jesus, this looks like a slug. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you have nothing in common with him. You can't stay in there right now. So, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now. So, right now, I'm going to lift up the power of the cross of Christ and command every demonic thing that's trying to attach itself and lie to this man. Break off in the name of Jesus. Break off now in the name of Jesus. Break off. Break off. Right now. So just stay right there. Don't move. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to ask for the stuff to release him. Get out of his soul. Get out of his heart. Get out of his mind. Come on. Come on. Get out. Release him now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fill him with your power right now. In the name of Jesus, he asks for healing in his mind, healing, healing from the hurts, healing from the wounds, healing from those things. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, how's it going? Is it feeling better?
I don't know. I heard something. I don't know what it was.
Okay. Okay. Right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now. We're going to keep praying. Come on, every stretch your jumper cables out. Father, we're going to pour the shadow. We thank you right now in the Lord. We're going to get rid of the tendonitis and whatever this infection is, whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is. I just see this. The light of Jesus is healing it right now. It's melting. It's going. It's going. It's going. In the name of Jesus. Just thank you for you. Okay, right now, Lord. Your healing miracle. We ask for you to search that out for him. Expose where it came from. To Holy Spirit. We need to go down inside and heal his heart, heal his mind, heal his soul. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Feel any different?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I don't know how to describe it, but I don't know. I feel balanced in a way.
You haven't felt balanced before?
No, somewhat. I mean, kind of like you, I had a right side problem as well.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Muscles in my right side going down to my back are imbalanced.
How did that happen?
We don't know.
Boy, another one.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that anybody who spoke against this man, who's cursed him, any foul words, anything that wished him harm, that because he's a Christian or whatever, Lord, has said that he can't amount to anything, this is going to be released off of him. We ask for, since you heal me, Lord, I ask for a healing for him on his right side. And strength to begin right now in the name of Jesus. Strength right now and peace. Peace in those muscles and those nerves. There's a thing going on in the back neck going down to your shoulder or something in your spine. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, shine light and warmth and healing to that spot right now. Okay, here it comes. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, there it is. There it is. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, you feel any better or about the same?
Well, no, I'm feeling something spiky in my right leg.
Okay. Spiky in the front? Okay.
I don't know if that's strength or...
It could be strength.
I'm feeling like a funny bone sensation.
A funny bone. Okay, Lord, just going to keep doing the nerves that going right down in his foot right now. Stretch out your jumper cables. I mean, you guys are part of this too. You know, you got to spark them now. Send some of that juice over here. Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh boy, his leg is twitching. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Right now, he's twitching. Father, get the nerves come back in Jesus' name. Get the hearing back. Get rid of that tendonitis in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
You feel better?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
You think so? Okay. Sometimes healing comes a little slow, like it did for me, but then you know that just if you start dancing and doing cartwheels, we'll know why, okay?
Well, that was crazy. Wow.
You feel different, huh?
Yeah.
Praise God. Okay. What's your name?
Luke.
Okay, Luke. I should remember that. You know Matthew and Mark and John?
I get asked that all the time.
Okay. I thought you did. All right. Praise God. If you're feeling good, you think we're done?
I hope so.
Oh, you hope so. Let's keep praying for him. Heavenly Father, let's give him more glory. Glory right now. Come on. Get out of his ear. Get all that out of there. Get out of there. All right. All that stuff in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord wants me to do something really weird. Don't get freaked out. I'm going to lightly step on your toe. I'm not going to hurt it. This one. That's all he told me to do. You feel better now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm blown away that you pointed. Uh-huh. Ear and hear. Blown away.
All right. Yeah. All right. Just go to, when you get the full healing, come back and testify. Because when you get, that's all I'm doing is testifying. Yeah, the Lord showed me, he said, that there's somebody over there by this lady with the flowery shirt that has a hearing problem. So, and you're sitting right behind her. Amen. That's how the Lord works. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about heaven, and then go into more miraculous, however the Lord operates, because that's what he told me to do first. Do the ear thing first. Do a little step. We're going to step it up a notch. Some of you heard my testimony about when I was an atheist and I died. Some of you haven't. That's why you got to get the book. That's all I got to say. Because I'm going to talk about what my second book is about that I've been delaying and putting off and a lot of life issues came up with the throat and all this that kind of delayed things. So I'm rewriting the whole book and putting some more stuff in there that the Lord allowed me to share. So I'll share on some of that tonight. Because you got to understand, after seeing a place like hell, you get really shook up. You have post-traumatic stress. Things would, smells, sights, sounds, loud noises, quick movements. I go in a shopping mall, people walking near me, I start sweating. And yet I got saved, I was born again. And wow. Next thing I knew, I was running an intercessors group. And next thing I knew after that, I was asked to be the head intercessor of a church. Didn't know anything about intercession. I was running the soundboard. I was in the praise band. I was very busy because I did not want to remember the awful place. That's what I called it. I always prayed, Lord, I never want to go back to the awful place. And so what the Lord did for me about a little over 2 years later, he allowed me to see heaven, because usually people who see hell, they see heaven. The Lord delayed it because I was probably stubborn and I thought I was John Wayne. Bite the bullet, don't tell anybody anything, be strong, be tough, no, be a man. All that stuff, how they all teach you to do. So anyway, I was working on, there was a revival meeting at the church. You got to understand, our church was about 30, 40 people, it grew to 300. And so this minister there, since I was involved in the soundboard, praise and worship, intercessors, praying for people, all the stuff I was doing back then. My night was Sunday night. I was running the soundboard. We had four nights of a revival meetings, or this was in the early 1980s. And I, in my super spiritual niceties, I was really angry because all these people were keeping me up because I needed to get to home and go to sleep. I had to get up and work early. I lived outside of town, almost an hour drive to town. And I would have to drive an hour to get to work, and I had to leave about 5 a.m. It's getting late. There only be supposed to be 2 people getting water baptized, and we had 30. I'm going to be here all night. Lord, how could you do this to me? I am such a spiritual giant. You ever been like that? Or am I only ornery one here? Boy, I was not in a really good mood or holy mood. I wasn't looking for this. So the meeting got out. And so guess what all the band did? I know sound people love this. They all left. Nobody put up, I had to lock the church, make sure there's no interlopers hiding in the bathrooms. I had, you know, I'm all by myself way late at night. Had to put all the cords up, all the stuff, and get the stage all pretty. So by the time I got home, it was getting about 2:30 in the morning. Had to get up at 5. Had to let the dog out. Boy, I was really holy. Lord, how can you do this to me? So I went to Colorado Outward Bound when I was younger, and that's a survival mountaineering thing where you learn how to push yourself with very little sleep. And I was trained by... Our guides were ex-military guys, you know, Delta team, special forces type guys. And so they trained us what is known as the drone zone. So all I needed, and I trained myself, if I could just shut my eyes and not sleep on my back for just a half hour, I can refresh myself and I can get up and I got the adrenaline. I can go to work. So that's what I was going to do. I laid down. My dog was getting really happy. And I go, come on, you want to go outside? It was bothering me, and I was, I like my dog. It was the only time I came close to kicking it. But I didn't. And so my dog got real happy. She started wagging her tail and yipping like somebody was in there. And I said, okay, whatever. Dogs do what dogs do. I laid back down in my holy mood, you know? I heard a voice. Really booming voice. I'm not kidding you. It said, awake, arise, stand to your feet. And I said, shut up. I need some sleep. And I said, wait a minute. And the light, it was a big bright light filled up the whole room. I had a trailer, lived way outside of town, and there's no sunlight. It wasn't dawn. And I tried to figure out why in the world did I see that? I must have just dozed off. It must have been a dream. So I settled back down. My dog was super happy. She wouldn't go outside, do nothing. She just, dogs will do what dogs do. And so I'm sitting there, lay back down. No sooner got my head hit the pillow, and it did it again. I heard, awake, arise, stand to your feet. I said, come on, I got to get up in the morning. Who are you talking to? You know, I am kind of a rough character, in a way, kind of ornery, okay? And so I said, my dog got real happy then, and wagging her tail, and I looked at it, it's like somebody was petting her head, and her ears were going down. I had a German Shepherd, her ears were going down, and I felt the presence, and so what I do, I get back in bed, and as soon as I close my eyes, I did it a third time, awake, arise, stand to your feet, and I told him, not now, I kind of get up, and then I realized what I said and how stupid I was. I threw the thing off, and I tell people, this is actually what happened. I opened the door to the back door of the trailer where the bedroom was, opened the door and said, the rapture! Take me! I was yelling, take me! I actually did that. See, I was really holy. I had a really holy attitude. I need that attitude adjusted. But anyway, my dog just got real happy. It looked like somebody was scratching your belly. Then I felt the presence of Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me in a still, quiet voice and said, do you remember how you left before? And I said, yes, I certainly do. I laid back on my bed and boom, I was gone. Say it's an open vision, or you say I was translated, I know I was translated. And the stuff happens. Jesus hasn't changed. He hasn't. Some people don't think, they think that all this stuff is weird. I get a lot of hate mail. I get more good mail than hate mail. But and I don't care about the hate mail. But I've just got to tell you, this stuff happens. So the Lord took me up there, and you got to understand, if you heard my testimony, you read my book, I entered into the dark void, heading toward a light again, but this was far different than being what happened before. See, I was approaching judgment. This time, I was going home. This was homecoming. I heard the same brilliant and beautiful music, speaking the same mysteries of God, and the same revelations about who God is, his character, how he heals, how he sets people free. All this stuff about who he is and how things happened in life and why people are all messed up. All this revelation. A lot of people who have these experiences go through this void and they forget all this stuff, but the Lord was... I forgot some of it, but then I remembered some of it, so I got in the Bible to make sure what I... It's there, and it's there. It's in the Bible. I can show it to you sometime. But right now, I was floating through the void, and I was going home. I saw the light. There was the same rock that I saw. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's in the book. And so, and there was Jesus standing on the rock. He wasn't there for judgment this time. I'm accepted in the Beloved, despite my cranky, bad attitude. And telling the Lord to shut up, I'm going to go to sleep, I got to go to work. And it was like grace. I'm so thankful for God's grace. You need grace in order to forgive people, because God forgave you by grace. So if you have trouble with forgiveness, ask God to remind you that you're forgiven, and show a little grace to the perpetrator or someone who hurt you. You don't have to bake them cookies. You don't have to be their best friend. You just, in your own heart, forgive them. Very important. So here I was, I was coming home to Jesus, and I saw him, and he didn't have a hood of judgment on. He had his hood off, and he had a big smile, and I laid it in front of him, and It's kind of strange, because he was in the room. Now he's in heaven. It's like, wow, this is... And you see Jesus, you know who it is, because I fell down again in front of him, and someone picked me up just like before. And this time he stood in what looked like a sheep gate. And a lot of people ask me this strange question. What did Jesus look like? Did he look like this person, this painting, that? And I go, well, I can't really tell you. But I will tell you what the Bible says. In Mark 16, verse 12, it says, after he resurrected from the dead, after that he appeared in another form to two of the disciples as they walked and went into the country. I saw one like the Son of Man. His image would change. One minute he looked very Jewish, like an old ruddy carpenter, not much you would desire if you look at him. A little better looking than Jonathan Kahn. I know Jesus is not going to be mad at me saying that. But then he turned into glorious. He almost looked like a cross image of that Gals painting and the Shroud of Turin together. And then he was glorious in another form. And I'm standing there watching what the one they call the Son of Man. And he said, welcome. Wow. Is that right? It melted me. And he told me, he communicates by thought, and he just said, welcome, but in that welcome was, I'm going to show you heaven. You are a mess. You got stress in your life, boy. I'm just saying, all kinds of things is telling me. You saw hell. I resurrected you. But you got to calm down. You need your soul healed. I call it heart healing. You need your heart healing. So come. So I followed him, and then the next thing I knew, he walked through the sheep gate. Jesus did say that he's the door of the sheep. The sheep gate, the shepherd lies at the gate and sleeps at night and protects the sheep. And I noticed that this pathway that meandered around and went up to a wall and up to a pearly gate. So he said, come, follow him. So I did. And we're walking along up there, and as we went, he spoke to me and he said, I'm going to show you heaven to calm me down. I want you to pay attention to all the signs and the symbols and words, numbers, colors. I'll tell you what they mean later, but just pay attention. You're going to get a download. I'm just paraphrasing kind of what he was saying because this was thought. So we came and walked up to this big wall. And people will always ask, why is there a wall around heaven? And you read it in Revelation, in the new heavens and earth, there's a wall around heaven. People don't understand why there's a wall. And there's a wall in the current heaven right now. Well, you know, there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God in three persons, one God, three persons. Why? Moses explained it in Exodus. He wanted to see the full manifest glory of God. And God says, nope, you cannot see that. I'll pass before you, and you'll hide in the cleft of the rock. When I give you permission, you'll see as I walk by. You see, he protects us from the us, from the full manifestation of his glory that's behind in heaven. And let me tell you, you have to be prepared, born again, sanctified, get your heart healed, all this stuff that's going on in your life. He wants to make you a different person. We're talking about that in a little bit. But right now, we cannot stand in that type of presence. And that's for our protection, because he loves us. That's why that wall is. So when you read about the walls of heaven, you'll understand a little bit. So we were walking down there. Along the road, we came up to the pearly gate and all these angels coming out. And we stood there for a little bit. It seemed like a long time, but it probably wasn't. And he was talking to me and I was watching the angels come out. And I haven't ever talked to anybody about this or told too many people except a few places. I'll tell you now. The angels are sent on assignments by God. They come from a place called the Heavenly Council. Some people call it the courtrooms of God. Not so much the courtroom of God where you go and plead a case. It's where you go get counsel. The angels, God could have done this any other way. Yeah, he doesn't need the angels, but he's sovereign. He's all-powerful, and he wants to work through living beings. And so he gathers his angels up there in heaven, and they talk. And he tells them something, and they decide, you know, how are you going to do this? And the Lord has the final word on the matter. Once that word's given, those angels are sent out. They come and they help people. They save people. He showed me several times when driving drunk, when I was a wild, crazy guy running around in the world before I was saved. Several times he saved me from very bad accidents by sending angels. Those are type of things. People who pray and intercede know how to go before the heavenly council, because when we sinned in the Garden of Eden, that was broken. And God came to restore us and reconcile us back to God. So when you pray and you know who you are in Christ, you can stand in front of the heavenly council. It's not anything weird or nothing. I'm standing here right now. You can be in your, you can take a shower. You can be anything. And you can go before God and say, Lord, I got a problem. I'll give you an idea what a heavenly council, what we our job is on earth as part of this heavenly council, as mortal beings on this planet. We're like the forward artillery observers and the recon units in a military thing. We're looking at, hey, here in Westminster, here in Littleton, here in Denver, we got some enemy activity, Lord. I need a Holy Ghost airstrike. Could you talk to some of your angels and stir some things up? We need to break some things loose down here. You got problems in your family. Lord, I got a situation. I need a deep counsel from the Holy Spirit, so things that I can't scrutinize on. I'm blind to. I need something. Show it to me. So those are things. I was watching these angels. That's what they were doing. They're coming out and doing assignments. There was a minister. He showed me who needed a prayer. His family was going haywire, and he could never prepare the sermon, and he was a really godly man and loved his family. Type of man whose little girl or boy would come up to him, Daddy, Daddy, right in the middle of a sermon, he'd go play with them. So Sunday come, he had no message. So the Lord, I saw his angel, and he just dumped this message right into his head. He got back, and it was a great message. It was awesome to see some of the stuff that these angels were doing, and I was standing there watching this like a movie screen and showing me. And so he said, come. So I followed. We went into this big pearly gate. The pearl was white with living blue like a turquoise, a color I can't even describe because there is no, our eyes don't see this color. And people in a certain turquoise or azure blue, which we don't see, but it's very similar to the sky blue that we see in Colorado. That's the color of heaven. So in the pearl, there was the swirls, the living swirls. And this thing was huge. And so he made sure I was paying attention to the signs and symbols. So he went through there. We came through. I mean, that thing probably took, I'd say, from back here to that garage door back there. That is about how long the tunnel was that was in it. It was narrow, very narrow. And we got inside, and wow. It looked like it was chiseled out by nails. And when I saw that, those are the nails that went into Jesus' hands and feet and the spear marks. Because the symbolism in heaven reflects things of the glory of God, how he paid our price for our sin so we can enter into heaven now because the gate used to be shut. And as I walked through that pearl, I got a download on the message of the cross that we only teach on a small segment of the cross. We learn it in Bible colleges, and that's all we focus on. It's like tunnel vision. And when I was walking through there, I know what Paul means when he says, I preach him and Jesus and him and crucified. That's my message. I know what he means because there's more to the crucifixion, what Jesus went through the cross, than contained in a huge warehouse. And so I started preaching this after I came back, immediately because I was doing, I started a jail ministry in 1988. I was teaching this a long time ago, and I got in trouble for teaching it. And yet it's scriptural. So I was walking through there, and each step I was taking, slowly, following the Lord, some people coming in behind me, walking through here, and this beautiful color and blue, and I still see it in my eyes, and just still see it. And I'm getting this download on the cross. You know what? That's the first step. Judas betrayed Jesus. So I took another step. Who have we betrayed? How did the betrayal feel to us? How do we keep spreading it around? And then, next thing you know, he was plotted against by the Pharisees and scribes. Who have I plotted against to assassinate their character? Ouch. I was getting healed. Going through the cross, going through there. And next thing I knew, Jesus, just like it says in Matthew 26 and 27. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm just going to paraphrase real quickly for time's sake. But here I'm walking, and Jesus was stood before the high priest. People bore false witness. Who have I bore false witness to? How did that affect them? How did it affect me? And I'm going, oh my God. Ouch. I feel better. It's like getting a splinter out of your soul. And then I was walking and took another step. Who have I mocked, betrayed, and beat up with my words or with my fist? Oh my God. I'm guilty. I am not a good person. I do not deserve to walk this way through this gate. Because that's the part of the message of the cross that's often forgotten. Because how many of us put a heavy burden on somebody they can't bear and we make them carry it? How's that put on us? And someone did that to us. What damage did it do to us? That's what Jesus wants to heal. And then I got through, going near the end of it, getting close to the end of there, and then this part really hit me hard. This is grace. Jesus could have called 5,000, 10,000, well, millions of angels to defend him, get him off the cross, but he did one thing. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They do not know how they betray, how they abandon each other. They don't understand how they reject. They don't understand what's in their heart. And by the act of the cross, if you look at it just before the cross, the 24-hour event, just before the cross, you'll see what sin in the heart really is and what it does to people. Because nobody is innocent. We all sell somebody out. We all bear false witness. We all put people in trial in their mind. That lady wore a good dress and I like it. And I like that sports car. How can I get it? No. And we all do these things. That's what sin is. So as I walk through the cross, when I start preaching this message, people will look at me. Then with amazing thing, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then he was suspended between heaven and earth, bearing the wrath of God as our substitute. He didn't have to do it. But he went through it to wake us up to how bad we are to each other, to him. And then so we can enter into heaven. And he took on our punishment, paid our death penalty in full, and our debt that we can ever owe. I can't work my way and earn anything. Everything that I'd done, how bitter, angry, you know, I was really holy, you know. Bitter, angry. Grace, go right through there. And I did this for you, to wake you up, so I can change you. So going through that tunnel, I mean the passageway through the pearly gate, got to the other side, and I hit a land of liquid love. This was not any love here. You hear people talking about reckless love in the song. This doesn't even come close. And God's love is not wimpy. And there's a lot of people teaching stuff in churches, and I just want to say this and warn you in advance. I'm not trying to cut them down or be bad-mouthing them or anything. But they make God's love into their image and their likeness, and they're violating a certain commandment. God's love is all of who he is. It's everything that he is. It's his character traits. His absolute justice, his mercy, his holiness, his grace, his patience, his goodness, his truth, his eternity, his comfort, his righteousness, his uprightness. There's no injustice in him. He's responsible. He keeps his word even at his own hurt. He's powerful. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's just. That's what I felt, the intensity, because the light that lit up heaven was his glory. And you felt that love that it reveals who he is. And you have an understanding that you never had before. You don't want to mess with God's love because God's love is wrath. That sounds strange. I tell you what, you don't want to understand what wrath is, how love is wrathful? Go up to the Rocky Mountains and find a nice mama bear and take one of her cubs home with you. And you will find out why love acts furiously. This love ain't no mamby-pamby stuff. People don't understand there's three stages to God's wrath. The first stage is from Adam to what we're living right now. It says it in Psalms 81, I think, there in the middle on the left column. Down. It says that he turns you over to your own devices. Why would he turn you over to do those things not fitting? In order you sicken of him. So you repent. That's love. The parable of the prodigal son. I'll give you your inheritance. Go blow it. Come to you. When he came to his senses, he came back. Same principle. Second stage of wrath is, you know, the earthquakes, the fire, and the stuff, you know, you read about. And the plagues in Egypt. Trying to get them to repent. They're not going to repent. Here's the third stage. That's the book of Revelation's about. We never have entered that yet. We're getting close, I think. That's when people that are going to be sealed, they're not going to repent. They love their sin. They love betraying. They love abandoning. They love neglect. They love molesting. They love their sin more than they love anything else, and they don't care. If they got into heaven, they would make it into hell. That's right. That's And God's love says, no, I gave you one chance, two chances, three chances, bye. Read it in Revelation. It's nice revelation in there for you. So I'm standing in this field, and it was beautiful. And I noticed all the people in the field coming behind me, and I said, this is strange. It's a land of liquid love and God's love and beautiful flowers, beautiful fruit trees, just a big meadow. And I nicknamed it the Field of Reunion, because at first there's this man that come walking out behind me, and everybody looks 30 years old. Perfect health, no bad hair, no bad breath. You like each other, and you don't mind each other's company. No body odor, hallelujah. No bathroom breaks, hallelujah. Gotta have a little humor here. But anyway, so I'm standing there watching this guy. He comes up, and there's his dad. He saw him as his dad, and you go, how did you get to heaven? And he said, son, I tried calling you when I had cancer. That's when I got saved. I remember what you told me. And I've been prayed and prayed that I wanted to talk to you and tell you, but you never came. And I want to say I forgive you. That boy and that man, they melted in each other's arms, and it was all forgiven, and they went off together happy. That's why I call it the Field of Reunion. I saw people, parents who lost little babies and stuff and little kids. They watch these little babies and they come to the toddlers and they grow up and they go, hi, mom, hi, dad. Or they see their son who died in an accident or cancer, and there they are. And this one really shook me up. I saw some women standing there and these babies crawling up to one of the ladies, and it grew into this person. He goes, and she started crying, and he grabbed her and says, hi, mom, we got all time to play. Well, she aborted that baby. All the guilt and the feelings that she had for what she'd done, just totally gone. Because when you go through the cross, go through that pearly gate, all that stuff is gone. You're totally healed. You enter in a realm of what you're designed to be. This life preparing you for that. And you understand the goodness of God and why we go through things we go through. In a way you can't even describe. So I stood there on the road, and there was a road there, and the Lord said, come. So I started following him again. And so he's walking along, he's walking to my right side, we're just talking, and he's talking by thought, and he's showing me around. And we came down to a place where all these trees were, and over there was the grand city, the holy, you know, the current heaven. And this part, the Lord's permitted me to share. I saw the new Jerusalem being prepared. It is a cube, and it's huge. There are angels and people up there working on it right now. And I know it was, and the Lord said, it's getting ready. I know what he meant. So it's getting ready. That part hasn't happened yet. But in the current heaven, that's being prepared. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. But here the current heaven was, wow, this was intense. Because, you know, there's this great city. It has, you know, and you know everything in heaven instantly. You know where everything is. You know there's a hall of records. You know there's a book of life. You know this, you know that, you know. You know where everything is in an instant. And the Lord said, do you like to go to the city or the countryside? He was laughing, good-naturedly. I grew up urban. I grew up in the city. I grew up south of Washington, D.C. I grew up rough and mean and tough. Grew up during a time of great turmoil in the late 60s and early 70s. Got drugs, alcohol, fell away. That's why I became an atheist. Hung out with wrong people. Read about some of them in the book. But here I am in this beautiful place called heaven. And there the Lord is just walking with me, and he says, where do you like to go? I said, the countryside. I'm tired of city life. So we walked. I called it, I don't know, it's a gold color that you can't describe. It's pure, but it was a gold road, but it was dust. It was dirt. Countryside, dirt. Inside city, paved. It sounds weird, but that's just how it was. So I was walking on this little road, this is a gold dust road. And so we were walking down it, walking toward the trees. Didn't know at the time what the trees meant, but of course people were inside taking care of the trees and tending and keeping them. It was great to see and everything. And I tell kids about this, they get all happy. I'm going to be taking care of trees. And, you know, I call them, these are trees, the plantings of the Lord, righteousness, Isaiah 61.
Yeah, wow.
I'll talk about that in a minute when I close. Because the Lord said, that was a sign to me, he says, you're going to make trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and they will rebuild the waste places and rebuild the desolations that many generation after generation wrought. That's Isaiah 61, verse 3 and 4. I'm paraphrasing. And that's what the Lord showed me. And then we walked down through there and I camped all this place. You know, when you die and your generation, it's kind of where you are in this in the current heaven. And so I went past the patriarchs. I didn't really get to see them or talk to them. They were over there. But there were people alongside the road like holding school sessions. And so they're learning things. And there's one guy, I can't remember who he was. I mean, it could have been Joshua, but I'm not sure who it was. For some reason, I just can't remember. But would you like to be taught by Joshua and it explained how God stopped the entire universe to make the sun stand still? And you'd see how and what that was. And you see all the stuff behind the scenes that went on in the Bible. And that's what you're learning. A lot of theologians are going to have their boat rocked. A lot of them up there. So we walked through here and I saw that. And we went through and then I saw ovens baking bread. I mean, it's just like beehive things. I tell native folks up there on the reservations, they know what I'm talking about. They're beehive bakeries you put bread in. And, wow, he's native. He's the Son of Man. And so anyway, all that's symbols for stuff. I won't get into that now. It'll be in the next book. And we came up to wine grapes being the wine of God's wrath. They're being grown. I mean, it's symbols. And then there were grapes you can enjoy. There was fruit on the trees. It's really big. You didn't have to eat, but you could just enjoy the fruit and taste it because you taste and see how the Lord is good and get downloads. I don't know what else to explain it. Flowers are huge. Some are small. Everything is perfect. Trees are shaped perfectly. And then we were walking along the countryside, and I noticed these grand estates. And these, you have ever been to North Carolina to the Biltmore? The original Biltmore stood on 5,000 acres. In the Biltmore, there are little towns and city where the workers lived. Okay? That's sort of like the idea. And he prepares a grand estate, a mansion for you, a grand estate. And everybody you influence in your life, it's like a snapshot. I influence you, you influence somebody else, and God takes a picture. We'll be living around each other. So get used to me. I'll get used to you. And that's what it was like. You live around these grand states, around each other in your own generation, and then you travel, and I got to tell you how you travel. You can walk really slow in heaven, or you travel by the speed of thought. You can ride on disc of light. I can't explain what I was seeing because this was strange. There are angels up there, and people always ask, what do angels look like? You know, and I said, how do I read your Bible? That's what they look like. You know, some had wings, some didn't have wings. I said that on a TV show, and I thought people were going to club me. And some angels don't have wings, and some of them do. Some have 4 or 5 wings, 6 wings. They're seraphim. They look like flames of fire going through the sky. They're living. They're beautiful. And you're singing, holy, 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 as they go by. Just like the Bible says. Nothing I'm saying is not in the Bible. And the living creatures that Ezekiel saw with the four faces. Yeah, they're there. They're tall, big ones. There's some angels in here right now. Some big ones, tall ones. I don't see them, but I sure feel them. And so, yeah, they're here. One behind me, too. I'm glad they're behind me, because I was preaching at Mescalero. I was challenged by a medicine man who said, "Your God can't do nothing." I said, "Come." Greg Morgan was there. And he just said, I said, "Come here next, come here tonight. We'll see who God's bigger." So it came out of my mouth. So he came up and he started heckling me as soon as I started preaching. "You're God." So I was like, "Come up here, let's prove and see who's God's stronger." So he gets out of there, he walks up and he throws his hands up in the air and he screams, he runs out the back of the tent across the football field. Next night he comes in and he says, "Don't get near me. You got the biggest goomers behind you I've ever seen." That's what he called them. He got saved. He got saved. You got to be bold for Jesus, man. That's one thing about seeing heaven. It does teach you that. So here I am walking with the Lord in heaven, and everything was beautiful. See, what I was walking with Jesus, and it became dawned on me, this message. We were originally, our purpose was to walk with God in the cool of the day. God came to reconcile us back to himself. Even though we do not deserve this, God has a plan to fulfill his promises and perform his word. In the book of Genesis, it says we're created in the image and likeness of God. That doesn't mean we're gods or any nonsense. It means we are to bear the image and reflection of God's. We are to govern our world by absolute justice, mercy, holiness, grace, patience, goodness, truth, eternity, comfort. We're to reflect his character traits and govern our areas where we live in that. But we have blockages in our heart and soul that prevents that. So the Lord's called sanctification and sets us free, so we learn how to do this to make a little heaven on earth where you are, because this place and this area is rough. People will kill you. It's bad. It ain't nothing like it was in the ancient days, because God's light came in. We don't even know how bad it was. You have to be a student of history like me to understand how bad it was. It's going to get that bad again in the book of Revelation, and the third thing of wrath comes. You don't want to be there. He originally designed us to walk and govern our lives by reflecting his character traits. But we fell away. Since God is absolutely just, he sent forth a call, his word, to present a choice before us, when before there was none, to reconcile us back to himself, to become what he designed us to be. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All things are of God. He who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." I'm reading out of the King James there. We're to carry forth that call into the mortal world. We're to call to the people whose spirit have been crushed in life. We're to call to those who hearts are shattered and broken and traumatized, and get them healed. We're called to set the person who's held captive and repeating habitual cycles of sin, pornography, whatever it is, and set them free with God's light. We're to set free to those who are enslaved in their own mental prisons. Like I shared at the healing room teaching today, people like to, they wake up in the morning, "I'm rejected," so they put on rejection. "You're going to reject me. I know you're going to reject me. I'm hurt, so I'm going to hurt you." That's how people are. And the Lord wants us to set us free, the people who are in bondage to that. We're to usher forth this call and to the hurting and lost and get them saved and set free. He gave us this inheritance. Ephesians 1:13-14. "In whom he also trusted, after you heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." If you look that up, that's a lot there. He gave us an inheritance. Where you live, why you live where you're at. It's time to take it back. So we walked along the, I'm going to close in a few minutes, but we're just walking along and we came to what I call the tributary of the river of life. Really strange how water flows in heaven. I can't explain it. You know, all rivers and tributaries flow in, you know, they flow into a river. This was flowing out, going the opposite direction from the river of life. And I saw all these kids splashing in the water. Then I saw Jesus. When I saw there, it really changed my life on who and what I really thought of him. Because, you know, most of us think of Jesus as those Jesus movies where he's holier than thou and stone-faced and he has a baseball bat and if you mess up, he's going to make you know it. No, that's not Jesus. That's Hollywood. And so he was laughing with the kids. Went in the river, that little tributary there, and they're splashing water. And I wrote a song about this. And called Splash a Little Water on Me. So he got in there, and he's kicking water on me. Boy, I need my holiness knocked out of me. Thank you, Lord. And if we had a little water fight with the kids and Jesus in there, and we're laughing and carrying on, and he was great. Jesus likes to tell good, clean jokes. He's the life of the party. That's why he got all, you know, all the sinners wanted to be around him. He had fun. Religious people, he wanted a marble face like they are, sitting on tacks. And they got mad at him. Now, he's the Lord of glory, and he, and trust me, you know that. But to know that he's also the Lord of glory, and somebody who really cares does healing in you in a way that you don't even understand. Then we came to a little place, a little overlook, a little special place in heaven for me. And nearby was a man fishing in that tributary that came from the river of life. For years, and I try to teach this, I'm trying to figure out, who is this guy? Is it my dad's? Is it my wife's dad who died, you know, and I led him to the Lord? And is that, no, and I saw in the future, no, and it's nothing set right. I couldn't figure out who this guy was. So, I'll tell you who he was, because my aunt, who lives in Jacksonville, Florida, sent me a picture. This is your grandfather, Dor Methvin. Our name was changed, he changed it to Melvin, because no one could say Methvin. But he, and there he was, 30 years old, and I go, oh my God, that's him. He was a fisher of men. He was born 1877. I'm not saying this to puff myself up. I want you to understand something. There's a little thing that in 1877, he went to a little place called Los Angeles Bible Institute. That eventually became Biola University. That was the dean of the college who he learned from was R.A. Torrey. If you know anything about R.A. Torrey, he was a head one of the revivalists, okay? When he was there was a little thing called Azusa Street happen. It just didn't affect Mr. Seymour's group. It affected the whole downtown area. Even people who didn't like Seymour, they were out having their... You read about it. They had the Holy Ghost hoedown. Methodists, Baptists, they were getting hit. Thousands of people were getting saved. People coming all around hearing about this noise going on. Not just tongues, but miracles. Even in the Baptist camps, we don't believe it. It was happening. My grandfather was in the middle of it. Okay, he died in his upper 90s, in I think 1963, tell you how old I was. I was 5 years old. I didn't know anything really about him, except he scared me, because he was in a Spanish-American War veteran, and he's in a soldier's home, and he was dying. And I walked in there, and it smelled awful. And there he was sitting there, you know, and he's old. And I'm a little five-year-old. I'm standing there. He motioned toward me. He's chewing on food. He laid his hands on me, started speaking in an unknown tongue, spitting peas at me. He's blessing me, and I didn't know it. That scared me. I was a little kid, and the nurses had to get him off. My parents couldn't get him off me. He gave me a spiritual Mickey. You got to understand, he left that Los Angeles, went to the Modoc Indians, went to the Nez Perce, he came to Cheyenne River. I am at the old Cheyenne River Agency where I'm preaching now. Then he went to Johnson City, founded the First Methodist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. He had preaching circuits all over the place. I'm getting goosebumps now. So, thanks, Grandpa. Now I know who was fishing in the river. And I get up there, we're going to have a little talk. Thank you. Now I know what you look like. So it was time to leave. And so the Lord says, you got to go see the city. So he came to the city. I thought we were just walking slow, but we were there in no time. And then next thing I knew, we were in this big, huge banquet hall. He wanted to show me the banquet hall. The tables were where you recline against. It wasn't like these tables, like what we're used to. You recline, you lay there. Sort of like a Middle Eastern type of thing. It was beautiful. And I don't know how this building could stand. It was big. It was long. And all these angels were helping, and all these people who loved to cook were cooking stuff and getting things ready and making the plates and making the utensils and setting them. It was beautiful. I've never seen a more beautiful place in all my life. We went through the banquet hall for the Bride of Christ. And came through that, and the Lord just said, just tell them, get ready. We went back to the pearly gate, looked at the city being built. And this is early 1980. It was 1983-ish when this happened. And he said, tell him to get ready. I don't know how long he's going to take before he comes. It could be, a few more years. It could be 20. I think it's going to be really short. I don't know when he's coming. But he wants us ready. He wants us shining his light because people forgot what that's about. And so we went back to the gate, went back and did these things. I'm trying to find a scripture I wrote down. And he stood and went to the pearly gate. We watched the angels come out again, went through back through it, went back to the sheep gate. He blew on me and told me it was time to go. You're going to make work. And so he blew on me. I went back to the void, heard the music, got some more downloads, went back in my body. I got up. The sun was shining. Birds were singing. My dog was happy. I was happy. I got ready for work. I had so much energy. I went to work, and this is the first thing my boss said to me. Brian, you're glowing. Who were you with? Did you meet some girl? And I said, I was going to tell him, I was with Jesus, but that didn't want to go over too good. That actually happened, folks. I worked at Montgomery Ward's. I was in building maintenance, I did the boilers. I was an electrician. I did all this stuff. I did some janitorial work. Did everything in that store in Fort Collins before they shut down. And I walked out on the floor. They wanted me to move some carts. I had this little kid tug on my pants and say, "Mister, you've been with Jesus, haven't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And I started smiling and laughing with them. And they're giggling and dancing around. And their mother's, "Get away from that guy. He's glowing." I could not see myself glow. I'm not kidding you. I could not see it. But people said I glowed for 3 days. And I thought Colorado had some really friendly animals. I'd walk outside and birds would be all around me. And my dog was with me, wouldn't chase the birds. I was by the river, sitting there chilling out. My dog was not chasing the ducks in front of me or the birds around me, all around me. Someone would jump on my lap and jump off. And my dog's sitting there all happy. A fox ran up and kind of skittish, looked at my dog, looked at the birds, looked at the ducks, and got a drink of water and trotted off staring at me. Two people walked by, and I heard, "He's glowing." I thought Colorado had friendly animals, but I glow for 3 days. Those type of things happen. I'm not kidding you. They did. And there's a few witnesses out there who saw that. But the most important thing, through heaven, what he showed me was my call to ministry scripture. I'm going to read it to you. And it's yours too. It's Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's upon you. You, by the new birth, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You get the Holy Spirit power inside of you. You get his resurrection power inside of you. Because the Lord has anointed me. This is why you have the power. To preach good tidings to the crushed. To poor in spirit. They've been living in darkness. He sent me to heal the broken heart. That means shattered heart. To shine a little light and a little love in their heart. To proclaim liberty to those who are held captive. And to, that word captive means repeating habitual behaviors and patterns. And you repeat. There are people hooked on pornography. There's people hooked on drugs. There's people, it's an addiction type thing. And your attitude that you think of, you want to wear that I've been betrayed, I've been neglected. So you go out expecting to be neglected. There are people, and I'm just going to say this in all kindness, who have been messed with when they were kids. And they were abused heavily. And so they go out into the world and they see everybody laughing and friendly. And they want to be a part of that, but they draw back. Because that reminds them of the perpetrator. Because the perpetrator was smiling and happy and enticed them. You know, the Lord came to set us free from those repetitive thoughts of doom and gloom that come in our lives. To open the prison doors to those who are bound, saying, come on out, you're free. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that Lord accepts you now. And the day of vengeance of our God. This is a good one. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not you. You are required to forgive. I'm sorry, but this is how it is. How matter they hurt you. God had the grace to forgive you, and you can ask for that grace to forgive them and just be done with it. Let vengeance belong to him. I always thought that, you know, I didn't understand this. I got to be good to my enemies. I got to bake them cookies. No. The Lord said, you know, you remember King David? He was good to King Saul, wasn't he? Yeah, he slammed a spear next to his head and taunted him and said, hey, Saul, why are you trying to kill me? I could have killed you. I didn't. Why are you chasing me? He's given Saul, all types, King Saul, all time, all kinds of time to repent. He wouldn't. You leave vengeance in God's hands. Comfort those who mourn and console those who mourn in Zion. That's a really interesting phrase. Zion means the heavenly court or the heavenly council. You can go before the heavenly council and ask the Lord really quick what to do on a matter. These people are mourning. They're broken and battered inside. What do I do? I don't know what to do. Give me some insight. And the Lord will give you a word for it. To give those people beauty for their ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning. You're exchanging joy for their mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You got to bloom where you plant it. And they shall, that's mean you and me, you, and they, we shall rebuild the old ruins, and we will raise up the former desolations. That means you're going to repair them. And you will repair the ruined cities in God's image, basically. All the desolations that many generations have brought. I go, wow, that's a tall order. I can't do this. Oh, I can through you, because I'd like to work through living vessels. What do you think I'm trying to do to get your soul healed? What are you trying to do when I'm trying to get your heart healed? Mr. Holy. So that's what heaven is about. That's what the gospel message is about. To get us to heaven, entering and training us, equipping us in this life to prepare us for the life to come. Because we're all broken. We have battery. We got wounds in our heart. We got things that are, we open doors to that cause illness, sickness, things like that. And we get wounded by people and hurt. And the Lord wants that to stop, especially in churches. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't hear you.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, we're on the same page now. So how do we get there? The really quick, just a short thing is what Katie taught on, you know, get your soul healed. Soul healing gets your heart healed. I call it heart healing. It's a little different. I always taught for years in the jail, resurrection power heals the broken heart. The heart is the production of room of the soul. It's where all the issues of life come forth into the soul. We're created a tri-nature being. We have a spirit, soul, and body. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and restores your spirit man perfect so you can communicate with God. Your flesh, your body, relates to the world. Our soul relates to the Spirit of God and to the world. The mediator, sort of. Boy, I can preach on that, but that's what the Lord's trying to restore our soul so we can get connected back to God, so we know how to relate to our world to shine a little heaven on earth. But how can we do it when our souls, and we're wearing, I'm rejected, kick me, I'm despicable, I'm unlovable, nobody will like me, and you treat everybody around you like that? How can you be a reflection with something blocking you? So the Lord has a thing called sanctification, which I teach people is simply deliverance. It's getting your heart healed, your soul healed, your mind healed, so you can relate to each other. I don't have to worry about somebody having a better car than I do. I don't have to try to one-up somebody anymore. That's all dead in me. I don't care. Sometimes I really do feel like a stranger and an alien in this planet. It just feels weird to me sometimes what people go through. And then you die and you can't take it with you. You see, then not only did he raise me from the dead, he healed my larynx. So, you know, when he got a healing, and I just want to share this, I don't understand it. I made my decision. My attitude was, though you may slay me, Lord, I will yet praise you. I don't care. I think that's the kind of faith he's looking for. And he wants people to know how real he is. He wants to heal the heart. He wants to heal the body. Okay? With that, let's see how the Lord wants to do here. So Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Lord. I just ask you to reveal the deep things of what you want to do. If there's anybody here that needs special prayer for anyone at all, just thank you, Lord.